year.
Oh, that's where I remember this.
All right, 422. We ready? All right. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.
So fast.
I know.
Perfect ending. I close the book.
Perfect. All right. Now, let's go over our confirmation quizzes. So if you put those away, get it back out.
Go,
go,
she's not looking.
All right. And the way that we'll do this is, you remember how I kind of went over each question and, you know, kind of went through why that answer was the correct answer?
Yes, I definitely remember that.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the vote of confidence there. We'll kind of do the same thing, but instead of me kind of explaining the answer why it's correct, we're going to have you guys explain why you chose that answer, or why that answer is correct if you got it wrong. Okay? Make sense?
She can start now. I get one.
What?
Only if we got it wrong.
No, if you got it wrong, I would have circled the correct answer for you, and then you explain why that one actually is the correct answer.
Right, but if we got it wrong, then would we explain why we chose the answer that we chose?
Sure. Yeah, you can if you'd like. Yes, that's a good idea, actually. If you chose a different one.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific Bible that we need to be reading from?
A specific Bible? Like, no, not necessarily.
Luke want this.
Yep. All right, so first question. What is the first question? We'll start with you, Olivia.
Confirmation quiz?
Yep.
What is the primary purpose of the Ten Commandments? And I put, they are rules we may follow in order to earn salvation. But it was C, they show us that we fall short of God's demands and that we need faith in Christ for salvation.
So why did you initially think it was A?
Because I don't know. I really didn't know that question.
Okay. All right. But you see how it is C, though,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
the commandments show that we're sinners in need of God's grace.
I was leaning towards that question, but I didn't know.
I almost did E, none of the above.
Mm, okay. All right, so let's go over to you, Allison. Number two, what is the first commandment?
I put, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, but it was, you shall have no other gods.
I should have known that one.
Okay, so right. So the first commandment is you shall have no other gods, right?
Doesn't it go D, B, A, or is it D, A, B?
Well, you're talking about the answers?
No, in the commandments. Is it, you shall have no other gods, you shall not misuse the Lord your God?
Oh, Lord. Yes, yeah, D, A, B. And then C, what's that?
I think it was C after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then honor your father and mother is the fourth commandment. Mm-hmm. All right, so number three, Chance.
Which commandments focus on our relationship with God? I put A, 133, because all of them have to do with God and how not to do what he doesn't want us to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then Emmett, number four.
Focus on our relationship with our neighbor. I put B, 4 through 10, because they kind of talk about how we should treat our neighbor. So that's why.
Yeah, it's kind of how we should treat our neighbor. So, like, an example of how we should treat our neighbor, like do not murder, do not steal, do not covet our neighbor's stuff, right?
But why isn't it that?
Why isn't it what?
What was the correct answer?
B, 4 through 10.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was looking at it. Okay.
Okay. All right, so number 5. Back to you, Olivia.
What is a creed? It is a statement of which we believe, teach, and confess.
Yep. Pretty straightforward there, right? All right, and Allison, number 6.
Who is the Son of God? It was E, none of the above.
E, none of the above. Who is the Son of God?
Jesus.
Definitely not Abraham.
I thought they were talking about Jesus as God. I get those two mixed up because I feel like they're the same people sometimes.
Well, Jesus is God.
Wait, so how could he be the Son of Himself?
Ah, right. So he is the Son of God the Father, right? But yet he's still God Himself. So we believe in the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is God. But God the Father has God the Son. That's his son. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Master, I was going for B, Abraham, but I'm a risk taker, so I took E, and I got it correct. So basically, I guessed on that.
Well, why would you think it was Abraham?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you lucked into that one then. All right. Chance number 7. How do we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
By obeying the commandments.
And then, what was it actually?
By obeying the commandments.
Did I not write that?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Okay.
I put by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, yeah, by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
Because ultimately, there's nothing that we can do to have faith. But faith is something that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, right? Who is God, right?
So how would that be wrong? If you just said that the Holy Spirit was God.
Here, let me see what you... Yeah, so you chose B, but it is D.
Oh.
Yeah, my red mark... Those are my red marks.
Oh, I thought that was the one that I put.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit works through... Well, how does the Holy Spirit work to bring us faith?
I know baptism is one way.
Goodness.
Baptism? How else do we receive forgiveness?
Confession and absolution.
Confession and absolution.
The Lord's
what?
The Lord's Prayer.
Not the Lord's Prayer. You said it.
The means of grace.
The means of grace and the Lord's Supper. Right? So the means of grace is how the Holy Spirit comes to bring faith to us. It does blow your mind, right? Well, certainly that's how the Lord gives forgiveness to us, faith. But we can also say confession and absolution also being the word of God in general, right? Because certainly we can read the Bible and come to faith, right? All right. So, number 8, Emmett, who receives eternal life?
All who have faith in Jesus Christ.
All who have faith in Jesus Christ, right? We don't get eternal life any other way, right?
Not by doing good, right?
Well, although we should do good things because we have faith, right? But that doesn't earn us salvation. Like, salvation is something that we earn, right? All right, so back to you, Olivia, number 9.
I have a question.
Okay.
Believe in God, could they still have faith in Jesus Christ?
No. So that's what belief in Jesus Christ is, or what faith in Jesus Christ is belief. But let's flesh this out a little bit. People can say that Jesus Christ existed, but yet not have faith. Because faith is not only belief, but what?
Belief.
That's what you said. Okay, belief and trust.
Trust, yeah.
Right? That's you trust in God, right?
So technically you can believe in Jesus Christ and yet not be a Christian. Because technically you believe that he was alive.
Right, so basically we talk about it in terms of you can say, I intellectually know that Jesus once lived, but I don't want his forgiveness.
I don't believe in him,
but so it's kind of like this. In Jesus' ministry, the demons even knew of Jesus, yet they didn't have faith in him. Right? The demons, whenever Jesus would approach, the demons would be like, oh crap, are you here to torture us? Right? So even they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't believe in him. They didn't trust him. They worked against him. Right? Make sense?
Yes.
All right, you got a question?
Yes. In history or social studies, we're learning about Greek gods and everything.
Mm.
And it says that they, in almost all of them, in their story of how they died, they all go to hell. Why don't any of them go to heaven?
Because they think that they're their own god.
Yeah, I'm not sure as far as that's concerned. But as we believe as Christians, those are all just stories, right? So it probably has to do with something. Maybe they did something bad or something like that. But we know better than that as Christians, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So can you believe in God and get baptized but not go to church and read the Bible every Sunday and stuff?
Say your question again.
Could you get baptized and have faith in God and still believe in him and stuff and not go to church every Sunday?
That's a tough one to answer. The direct answer is no. That's not faith doing those things. Faith always seeks out to be with the gathering of other Christians. Because, you know, I have an uncle, family member now, but he said, how can we go to church if we are the church? Right? So he used as an excuse not to go to church. But the problem with that is that's understanding as I'm the church, not we are the church. Right? And ultimately, the church is formed by who?
God.
Specifically,
Jesus.
Oh.
Right? And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how we're formed into the body of Christ, right? So my answer is, unless you cannot make yourself a Christian, Jesus makes you a Christian.
Okay.
And he has his way of doing it.
Was getting baptized and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and baptism's a strong thing, right? I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Baptism, let me put it this way. You can love your baptism at times. You can love the fact that you bear the name of God. You can love the fact that you repent of your sins and receive forgiveness. And other times, you kind of don't like your baptism, right? You don't like what it brings you, right? Because it means killing your desires, your sinful desires, and living out the desires of God, right? Which that's hard for people to do, right? So I'm not here to make judgment statements on people's faith and if they're going to go to heaven or hell at the end of their life, but I would also urge people that It is not the Christian thing to do to get baptized and to never come to church again. But I'm not going to say that that doesn't mean that they are a Christian. Does that make sense?
Is that kind of like trying to seal that you go to heaven so you don't have to try anymore? Like you do one good thing so you don't have to do anymore? Like, go to church and everything.
So, yeah, so it's kind of like, well, I've done my one thing, I've gotten baptized, and so I'm good.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and that's a false understanding of faith. Yes. That's where baptism isn't just a one thing that happened in the past, but it's an ongoing life, right? But does that help answer your question?
A little bit, but what if you, like, you know that it's church day, like, on a Sunday morning, and you, like, read your scriptures and you like
again yeah I understand, but again it's also understanding that the church is us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right, not just me. So me reading my Bible at home is not church.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, that's good devotions and yeah. You should do that, but to call that church is you know, we'll actually talk about that in Lenten midweeks, midweek five. We'll talk about that. In Hebrews, it says we should not neglect the gathering, as is the custom of some, right? Basically saying we shouldn't neglect coming and meeting together as a church because this is where Christ gives his gifts. Right. All right.
I thought you said mid-Lenten.
Oh.
Lenten week.
Yeah. Right. Well, I did say Lenten week, but Lent week. Yeah, you got it.
The reason why I asked that first question was because my friend, I'm Greg, he doesn't believe in God. He thinks the Big Bang invented us, created us.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that out there.
I'm just going to say this once because there's... It can go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, it's a little crazy how some people think that our life happened on accident because of the Big Bang.
Isn't there a TV show about the Big Bang?
Yeah, it's just a sitcom, though. I don't think it's actually about it. But all right, let's move on. We gotta get moving here. All right, so back to you, Olivia, number 9. By faith, what does God do for us?
I put forgives every sin, but it's answers A, B, and C.
Yeah, so is there a reason why you didn't like answers B or C?
I guess I wasn't thinking.
You maybe didn't read all the questions or the answers, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so by faith God forgives us our sins, he gives us eternal life, he makes us holy. Right?
Yeah. Answer A.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor. Yeah. I mean, it is right, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Pastor, whenever it gives us, whenever it gives us things like answers A, B, and C, are we allowed to circle A, B, and C?
You could do that too. That works. But all right. So next question, number 10. What is prayer?
I put A, but it's E.
But it's E, right? So, well, and it's not you speak to God and he speaks back to you. Well, how does God speak back to you? The Bible. The Bible, right? He speaks back to you through the Bible.
How is it something God tells us to do?
Well, because God does tell us to pray. Oh. Yeah, he commands it, actually. Because prayer and reading scripture, it's like a conversation. You know, it's kind of like if you never talk to your siblings, right, you probably wouldn't have a very good relationship with them. But if you did talk to them and had good communication back and forth,
even arguments,
sometimes you'll have those. But then your relationship grows and it gets better. Right. But what if. All right. So what if it was just her talking and you listening?
She doesn't
this is kind of like what we were doing in, like in computer class. We'd do stuff like this.
Okay. And so it's not very good communication, right? And vice versa, right? Wouldn't be very good communication. But if you both spoke and you both listened, that's good communication, right? And that's what prayer is. Or that's what prayer in Scripture is. But here, just simply, what is prayer? It's something that God tells us to do. And it's prayer is speaking to God in our words and thoughts. Yeah, it is a silly answer, isn't it?
Something that would be in Diary of a Wimpy Kid or something.
Yeah. All right, number 11, Chance.
In the second petition, we pray for God's kingdom to come. How does God's kingdom come to us? And I put none of the above, but it's see when our Heavenly Father sends the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, when our Heavenly Father sends the Holy Spirit is how kingdom God's kingdom come. That's from the Catechism. Okay? All right. Number 12, Emmett.
This one's obvious. Number 12?
Mm-hmm.
What does amen mean? Or amen? If you're wrong. And the answer is D. Yes, it shall be so.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. You guys, I think everyone got that one right.
Good job.
All right, number 13. What should we pray for?
Oh, me?
Yep.
We should pray for all of the above.
All the above, right? Those are all good things to pray for.
We should pray for everything. Anything that would be for God's glory.
But what shouldn't we pray for?
Oh, ungodly things.
Like, ungodly things, yes.
If you like somebody and you want them to like you back, that's nothing you should pray about.
You got it.
Wait, could you pray for friendship?
Because friendship is a godly thing.
That's basically what...
Well, I think he's talking about more than friendship.
Did I not do, remember?
Yeah. Okay. Like boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah.
Did I not do number 14? It doesn't say I circled anything.
Oh, yeah, you skipped it.
Oh, sometimes I do that on my other tests at school. Because I
don't know the answers. All right, so for number 14, what did you put for number 4? Or what is the right answer for 14?
C.
Yeah, so how many means of grace are there, and what are they?
Three. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, confession, and absolution.
You got that wrong, the Lord's Supper.
And not prayer.
It says the Lord's Supper.
You said the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
All right, number 15.
I don't know how I did that.
How many baptisms does Jesus want you to have? One. But is it okay to have two?
Well, the second one doesn't do anything.
Our sister Katie, she got baptized on the day that I got baptized when I was a baby. And then when she was older, she got baptized again.
In a lake?
In a creek?
Because you went to a new church, I think that's why.
Some churches do things differently. Sometimes they'll baptize you into a new church, or it's a recommitting your life back to Jesus.
Huh?
It's like, because like maybe you lived a life of sin, right? But now you're coming back to faith, wanting to live your faith out better again. So some people would get rebaptized. So it's kind of like setting yourself back on the straight and narrow after baptism. But here's the thing. Those kinds of ideas make baptism something that who does versus baptism being something that who does?
You first time, Jesus second time?
Yes. So baptism is something not that you do, not you do for other people. Baptism is not something that you do to join a church body. Baptism is not something that you do to rededicate your life to Jesus. Baptism is something that God does to you. And because remember, it's like a... Yeah, it was like a fill in blank.
The brand.
It's like a brand, right? It's been put on you, and you can't get rid of brands, right? All right.
What if it's the church's fault, like you get baptized two times? Like, one, you get baptized, and then the church is trying to break you up, like break you off of that church, and then you go to a different church and get baptized.
Well, I mean, again, the second baptism doesn't do anything. All right, 16.
What are we united to when we are baptized? And what book of the Bible tells us that? The answer is A, Christ's death and resurrection. And the book is...
Yes, united to Christ in a death like his and united to him in a resurrection like his.
I just got finished reading.
We are on 17 now. All right, answer number 17 first, and then you can.
What is the saving work, and who does the saving work in baptism of God?
God does the saving work in baptism,
wow,
right?
Wow, I did good on this side.
Yeah, good.
Me too.
All right, number 18. What invalidates the promises that come with baptism?
D, nothing can invalidate the promises of our baptism.
Nothing can invalidate the promises of your baptism. Okay? So that doesn't mean, though, that you can, once you're baptized, you're done, right? You're done with faith. It just means that now we're living the baptized life. And so you'll always have the promise of the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit placed upon you. But you also may sin against those promises that you have, which is not a good thing. All right. Number 19, chance.
Confession and absolution.
Yes, how many parts are there to confession? What are they? Two, confession and absolution. All right, Emmett, 20.
What sins do we plead guilty to? All sins which we commit, even the ones we are unaware of.
That's right. All right, 21, Olivia.
Who should be excluded from the Christian congregation? I put no one, but it's unrepentant sinners.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so why unrepentant sinners?
I don't know, because I thought no one.
Do you want to explain this one?
Because...
Well, let me ask this. What is what does unrepentance mean? Yes.
Aware of their sins, but don't care.
Yes, aware of their sins, but don't care. So, we get down here. What does it mean to repent of your sins for the short answer? Who's next?
Oh, no, I am.
Okay, what does it mean to repent of your sins?
I put pray to God about your sins, but you put close, ask God to forgive sins, turn back on sin, and face towards God.
See, I didn't know anything, because you said opposite. It turns away from your sins and turn your face toward God.
And then what did you say on that one?
It means to say, stay with your sins and not ask for forgiveness.
That's what repentance, or unrepentance is to stay with your sins and not ask for forgiveness. But being repentant of your sin means being sorry for your sins.
Oh.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you see why unrepentant sinners are excluded from the Christian congregation.
Pastor, are they in there with all the plates on the door?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
What are they doing?
They're having a meeting, but that's all right. That has nothing concerned with you. All right, chance, number 23.
23?
Yeah.
What is the Lord's Supper? The body and blood of Jesus Christ, and under the bread and wine. But I put C, the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
I put the last meal God Jesus ate with his apostles.
Well, that's the Last Supper, not the Lord's Supper.
How is mine wrong? Isn't mine just the same thing except shortness of words?
The body and blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the difference there. The Catholic teaching is that the bread and wine literally turn into Jesus' body and blood.
What do we believe?
We believe that Jesus' body and blood is in there, but we still believe that there's bread and wine there.
There's evidence that...
That's why I picked that.
There's evidence that it is both body and blood. And bread and wine. And
there's... Yeah. So whenever Jesus, at the Last Supper, whenever he said, "This is my body," he wasn't holding up a part of his body. Right?
This is my body.
He didn't cut off a finger.
But he held up what?
Bread.
Bread, right? And so, and we also hear from other places in Scripture where it's also bread and wine, but it's not bread and wine, right? So here's the part. It's really unexplainable, but we know, but it's also not like, well, it's 50% Jesus' body and 50% bread. That's not the right way to understand it. But rather, it's 100% Jesus' body and 100% bread and 100% Jesus' blood and 100% wine.
Humans can't understand it.
We can't understand it. Jesus, this is how miracles work.
No, just roll with it.
Yeah.
I picked up the sea because I went to St. John's for a while, and it's a Catholic school, and we would go to church every Monday, and every Friday we'd go to Mass, and that's what they taught us, and it just clicked my brain.
Well, and so here's the thing. If anything, I'd want you to pick C out of that. If you picked any other, because it's definitely not A.
Yeah.
Right? That's not a symbol, right? But rather, because that's not taking Jesus' word for it, right? Or is it with C, you're at least taking Jesus' word for it when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, right? Yeah.
At the Last Supper, a long time ago, like when he ate with his disciples.
Yeah.
When he held up his when he held up the bread and said, this is my body, whatever he says is true. So that bread just turned into body in his hand?
Well, yes and no, right?
Well, yeah, because it's both,
It didn't look any different than it did than how we do it upstairs. Make sense?
Then why did they think that?
Think what?
That it actually turned into that stuff.
That the Catholics, you're saying?
Yeah.
If I you're not going to understand this, but it's a philosophical distinction between the accidents and the essence of something. Okay, basically, the accidents is this is a chair, right? That's the form that it is. It's a chair, but if I
use it as a bed.
Well, so this is the accidents. It has the form of a chair, but I can change the essence of it, which doesn't necessarily change the form of it, but it changes what it actually is. So it's like if I said that this is a bed, right?
Or a stool.
Or something like that. I'm not explaining it very well, but there's a distinction between the form of something and what it actually is. Is what they'll say. So they'll say that the accidents is bread and wine, but the essence is body and blood. Which, funny enough, the Lutherans don't say that that's a wrong explanation. They just say that's not the explanation of what the Lord's Supper is. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
We got off topic.
All right. Number 24. Who are we at right now?
I just did that one. So
yeah, okay, so Emmett, 24.
What is given when we receive the Lord's Supper? A, B, C, which is salvation, forgiveness, and life.
And life. All right.
I noticed.
Pretty straightforward.
Yay, finally one that I get right.
All right, 25, Olivia.
Who receives the Lord's Supper worthily? Those who have faith and trust the words of Christ.
Yeah, those who have faith and trust the words of Christ. All right, Allison, 26.
Does everyone who goes to communion all receive the body and blood of Christ? Yes, because what the sacrament is does not depend on what we believe it is, but it depends on what Jesus says it is.
Basically, if God says it is.
You got it, right? So, if Because you're right. So Jesus says, "This is my body." It is his body, right? Jesus says it is, and it is.
It doesn't look like it, but it is.
But it is. And so even if you don't have faith, so let me ask it this way. Someone who doesn't have faith comes to the Lord's table and receives the gifts. What are they receiving?
Body and blood.
Why?
Because they don't believe it.
Because Jesus says it is. And even though they don't believe, they're still receiving Jesus' body and blood.
It's like, no matter what anyone, whether they believe it's bread and wine, they're still going to get bread and wine. You can't change that.
Right, so they're going to get bread and wine, or they're going to get Jesus' blood, body and blood in with and under bread and wine, right? Regardless of what they believe. Because what makes a sacrament what it is, whether it's body and blood or bread and wine, it's not us who makes it something, it's Jesus who makes it something. And whatever he says is, right? So even if I pulled off someone from the street who has nothing to do with Christianity, doesn't have faith, and he received the Lord's body and blood upstairs, he's receiving body and blood, not just bread and wine. Does that make sense?
No matter what you do,
you're
going to get sick.
This is good water. Can I please go to the bathroom?
You may.
Good water.
All right. 26 or 27 chance.
I don't know already.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. The Lord's Supper is answer C and D.
C and D, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's review. What are the means of grace?
The Lord's Supper, baptism, and confession and absolution.
Okay, and what is a sacrament then?
Sacrament of the Holy Baptism.
It's a means of grace that we can physically see and touch.
Yeah, a means of grace that we can physically see and touch. So a visible means of grace, right? So, what are the two sacraments then?
I think it's baptism and Lord's Supper.
And Lord's Supper.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yep. All right. All right, and then Emmett 28.
What?
You should refrain from the Lord's Supper. Answers A, B, C, D, which is those who don't believe the words is my body. Those who don't understand what the Lord's Supper is. Those who refuse to forgive others, and those who think they are without sin.
All right, and why not eat?
Because it's for sinners.
You're exactly right. That's precisely what the Lord's Supper's for. It's for sinners. All right. Where are we at with time?
You didn't record this one.
No, I did.
He is.
Oh.
All right. So we got 20 more minutes. Let's go through.
Wait, we forgot to skip 29.
Oh, well, that was a pretty subjective answer. There was no right answer there.
Can we each tell our own?
Sure, if you'd like.
My favorite Bible verse would be John 8:28-37, because I haven't really read it, and it is talking about Jesus' crucifixion.
There you go.
My favorite, I changed it because I just finished
Romans.
But I put John 3:1-5.
Or I'd go Mark.
Because that has my favorite verse in it.
Or I'd go Mark 21:36. What we did today for our.
My favorite Bible verse is in a country song.
In a country song.
John 3:16.
Beautiful.
God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son.
That whoever believes in him
must have
shall not perish.
But
have eternal life. Got it.
Off the back of my hand.
I wrote a lesson instead of a Bible verse.
No.
It was an 8, and I think that one was like Jesus coming back.
Yeah, well, that's what I was looking for, was one of the lessons that we've done, so.
And I liked it because it gave hope, whereas most of the other ones were, like, downers.
Yeah, whenever we talk about Jesus' death and stuff, it's sad, right? But it is good, right? All right.
I ate my retainer. That's
what
my
neighbor
said. I put it in my mouth and she like, wait, where did
they go? Nice. All right, let's do lesson 9. Get your lesson 9 out.
We're going to work on it.
Oh, wait, no, you're.
Lesson 9.
Question.
All right, so the first question or tell me what the topic is.
Tell me what the topic is.
All right, so in one sentence, tell me what the topic of the text is.
I did 2 sentences.
Ooh.
Ooh, you're gonna.
That's all right. We'll let it slide.
I said, do not fall asleep on God's word. Shall he come any moment?
That's right. Absolutely. All right, and let's read the text first. So get your Bibles, or yeah, someone go get some Bibles for us over there.
I will get them.
Oh, I guess I'm not going to.
I guess y'all can all just go get your own.
I got mine. Don't need
me. This is actually my mom's.
This is mine.
And she got it on my birthday.
Are you? You got it up in the Mark?
Yeah.
Chapter 13?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mark chapter 13, starting at 21. And this Bible, that's on page 1577, there at the bottom.
Mine's on 1154.
Mine's on.
At the top.
All right.
707.
Just some quick advice.
That top.
It helps me to find chapters like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just say over and over, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so I know where they are.
There you go. There was a song that I memorized in school for the Old Testament and New Testament. And to this day, I can't find a book of the Bible unless I sing that song.
Yeah, we did that. We have it up in that room.
My
dad
has this in the
waitress.
Not right now. All right. So, 1577, Mark chapter 13 at the bottom. Someone read verse 21 through 26. Olivia, you can start.
And then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show signs of wonders, in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance, the return of Christ. But those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And they will see the Son of Man come in cloud with great power and glory.
This is very good.
Go to 27.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, and from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven.
All right. And then can someone read 28 through 31?
Hang on. I can't find
Chance.
32.
It's 13.
28?
It's
on
a page. This one.
Which?
Right there.
Do I read?
Well, Chance is reading
now
for us.
Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen in you know that it is near, right at the door. But I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Okay. And then we'll have someone else read 32 through 37. Emmett?
I just want to say real quick, earlier it was like verse 24 through 25.
Yeah.
So when the day before, will the sun turn to black, and the night before, the stars will fall, and the moon will turn
well,
to black?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Sorry. Pretty wild though, right?
So,
yeah, so, yeah, 32 through 37.
No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to be watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
That's scary. Sleeping about it.
I thought yeah, I heard right? a story about that one time.
And why does...
It's the way he was reading
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's jump into... You got a question?
Why on 33
yeah.
does it say, be on guard, be alert? You do, like, are they supposed to be...
So
it's it by be on guard?
So,
that's what I said in here. Do not fall asleep on God's word.
Right.
Don't look away.
Yeah, so it's like basically some people think that they have time to live their sinful lives before going to church and repenting of their sins and stuff. But we're, as we see here, Jesus tells people to be on guard, to be alert, because you don't know when the last day will be. You don't know when your last day will be, right?
Are you supposed to be afraid about the second coming?
No, we're not. You know why?
Because we know Jesus.
Because we know Jesus, and it's going to be great for us. Right?
What is the second coming?
It's when Jesus comes back to get us.
Yeah.
And he will separate us into heaven and hell. And the people that don't believe him will go, and then we'll go to hell. And the people that do believe him will go to heaven.
Okay, yeah. I just think that a lot of people, when the sun turns black, are going to start screaming. The sun is turning black. The sky is falling.
All right, let's get to the questions, okay?
Can I ask a question?
Is it relevant to this text?
Will I be alive whenever the second coming?
We don't know.
It could be tomorrow.
It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 2,000 years from now.
It could be right now.
It could be tomorrow.
Please.
We don't know. All right.
I hope it
is. Isn't there a saying, and it's like something around, live today like it's yesterday, or the last day, and live tomorrow like it was yesterday, or something?
I haven't heard it, but, yeah.
Probably then it's not.
All right. All right. Let's... All right, first question, Olivia. What does Jesus tell the church not to believe, and why?
Jesus? I don't know. Jesus tells the church, do not believe in false prophets. This is so because they are not him. He has his own time and to come, and he will make his mind up.
Yeah, so what does Jesus tell the church not to believe? Well, don't believe these false prophets because they tell of a false Christ, right? They, at verse 21, it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there he is, don't believe it, right? So don't believe false prophets when they say that there's a different Messiah, right? And when there's a different Messiah, there's a different gospel.
When there's a different gospel, there's a different God. It just keeps going.
That's right. And so, next question, Allison.
Okay.
What will false Christs and false prophets do?
I didn't really answer any of them, so false Christs, will they not believe?
Well, they're going to try and tell people to not believe in Christ. Chance?
Perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect.
Yeah, they'll perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect. That's what verse 22 says, right?
Check mark on that one. Right, they will arise and do not what God will do.
And say that again. Arise and...
Do not what God would do.
And do not what God would do. You're getting there. Right. I think that's really the thing that we need to have there is there's going to be deception going on, right? And what are they going to try and deceive you to do?
To stop believing in God.
To stop believing in God. And they're going to try and rip you apart from the church. From the one true holy and apostolic church. So they'll try to rip you away, even if you're the elect. Now, what's the elect?
God's chosen people.
God's chosen people, right? So what these false Christs, what these false prophets will do is that they'll try and convince you that Jesus didn't actually pay for your sin, right? They'll try and convince you that Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. They'll just try and convince you that Jesus was some man. There's a lot of that actually happening even in the disciples' time after the crucifixion and resurrection.
So, it's happening right now.
And it's happening right now. You're exactly right. So Jesus is saying these things to the disciples for them in their day, but also for us in our day. Right? What's that?
False Christs are mean.
Well, they can be. Right? But they can also have the appeal of being really nice people, too. But they're deceiving you. Exactly right. All right. Chance.
Yes.
What will happen to creation at Christ's second coming? What is meant by earth and heaven?
I don't know if this is right, but I put it from the end of the earth until the end of heaven. I don't know where I got that answer.
All right, so what does it say that's going to happen at Christ's second coming in the text?
The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the power in heaven will be shaken.
Right, so basically, this is, you know, poetic language, so I'm sure these things will more or less happen, but basically, what it's trying to say is that creation's going to go haywire. It's going to go upside down. Everything's going to, right is going to be left. Up is going to be down, right? You know what I mean? The creation's going to go by the wayside.
Instead of putting that, I about put we don't know and then answered what is it meant by earth and heaven.
Well, okay, so what is meant by earth and heaven?
I said it means between the heavens and the earth.
I have here in my notes, that means those Christians who have died in the faith. Oh, yeah.
I read the saying and then...
I think whenever I asked that, I was referring to 27. What does it mean whenever from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens? And that's a reference to those Christians who've died in faith and who are already in heaven with Christ. That's They'll be gathered in from the heavens, but from the earth are those Christians who are still living on earth and are going to be gathered up. Okay? All right. Emmett, what will he send his angels to do?
To gather his elect.
Right, to gather his elect from the... What does the text say? Verse 27.
From the four winds.
What does that mean?
The world.
The world.
I meant what does elect mean?
That's right. I didn't know what that means. In the ancient world, we kind of still have some people who are along this way of thinking. In the ancient world, they thought that the world was flat. Right?
Yeah, that's...
And so, And so whenever the Bible speaks about gathering from the four corners of the earth or the four winds of the earth, that just means that from every part of the world, people will be brought together.
Because if it's flat, then they'll have corners because they would probably come square. So it would be the four corners.
Right. Exactly. But obviously, we know that, that the world's not flat now.
I don't blame them for thinking that the earth was flat because they didn't, back then, they didn't really have boats that went all the way.
Right. They had limited technology to be able to learn all that stuff.
Flintstones.
All right. So, do you have a question about the text?
It's sort of, I think. But with this, whenever you said the second coming could be tomorrow, I kind of want it to be tomorrow, but I kind of don't because I'm having a sleepover for my birthday.
Well, but you're right though in that, but we actually pray for the Lord to come, especially in Advent. Advent, we remember. What do we remember in Advent?
When God died for our sins.
Well, we always do that. That's true, but in Advent, what does Advent come before? No.
I want to say Christ's first coming when he was born.
Yes, Christ's first coming when he was born. So it's right before Christmas. Advent's right before Christmas. And then we're also getting ready for the second coming. Okay? We're preparing for the second coming. And something that we pray for in Advent then is, come Lord Jesus. Right. But we pray, come Lord Jesus in Advent because we want the Lord's second coming to come, because then we'll be in the new heavens and the new earth.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come. You're exactly right.
On earth as it is in heaven.
All right, Olivia, who is meant by this generation in verse 30? This one's hard. Probably not going to know.
It means that they will be something else after the second coming, most likely.
Yeah, so this generation makes it sound like that it's the, the generation that Jesus is talking to. But what Jesus actually means there, it's his church, his bride. He's the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And so, basically, it's the elect he's talking about. The elect is this generation.
Is it wrong if I put the younger people of that time?
Yes.
Okay.
You said that we are the church, so if I put us, technically, you said the church, so technically...
Yeah, I mean, that's true. So this generation is born again to new life through holy baptism. And although tribulations may come our way, kind of like the tribulations that's talking about here, and we'll have false prophets trying to convince us of false Christ, so on and so forth, nonetheless, the promises of God will not fade away. All right. So what is more certain than heaven and earth? Allison, and I give you a hint there. Look at verse 31. Here. So why don't you read verse 31?
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Whose words?
Jesus.
So, okay, but Jesus
God's
what?
Words.
God's word.
God's word.
I put God's word.
God's word is more certain than heaven and earth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All right. Who knows the time of the second coming? Chance.
Nobody.
No.
Except for
God. The Father.
The Father.
God the Father.
If y'all would have let me finish, I would have said that.
All right. So, what did you say?
I said only God knows that He made this earth. It's his option to and when to make it go away.
That's right. And not only just God, but God the Father, right? Making that distinction is important. Not even Jesus knows whenever he's coming back, because God the Father will just all of a sudden one day be like, today's the day.
He had a good
day. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
That's right, magic. Now the air's coming out.
I did that with the water.
Yeah,
we'll do that
later.
He had a good morning. He was like, you know what?
Okay.
Wait, what time
that's
do we
right.
No, I'm
going to
go.
All right.
All right.
What time do we leave?
We're here in a bit. We're going to finish this. We're very close. All right, Chance. Yeah. Who is... Okay. I don't think that this one was in the text, actually. And this one was tricky, and I'm sorry. But what did you have for that?
To pray and to watch for Jesus is coming. But you've got to make sure that... After the S, it's an apostrophe, not before the S. Or an S apostrophe. And
yeah.
An S.
Yeah, so watch and pray for Jesus' coming, right?
Yes.
And then the last question, Emmett.
Wait, did we skip one? Or
nope.
We just...
No.
We haven't got this skipped one.
Wait, we're not doing catechism question?
Oh, no, we are, but the last one before the catechism question.
Oh, okay, the dead will rise. Because he rose from the dead?
Yeah. And so this one was tricky too. This is kind of a more broader theological thing. But so why don't you tell the answer that I gave you?
People who believe in Christ will get the privilege of body and blood.
Well, I kind of said that, right? So,
I'll put it in my own words.
Yeah, okay. So certainly... Jesus' death and resurrection, who was it for? Who did he die for?
Us.
And?
And our sins.
But whose sins?
Ours,
yes, but who
Adam's
else?
Adam's and Eve's.
All sin.
All sins.
Right? All people sin, even unbelievers' sins he died for. But only those who cling to the cross of Jesus receive that forgiveness.
Yes.
Right? And so... So times of tribulation came to the disciples, but the death of Jesus shows who all is truly Christian. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So catechism question, Olivia, what do you got?
I said God will come again.
Right. Now God will come again. That is, the apostles. Well, actually, that's in the Nicene Creed. God will come to judge the living and the dead. That we talked about, right?
So we give it to you, or we
give it to me.
I have it.